Hello, my name is Jennifer Braverman.
And I'm Ellen Selm.
And welcome to our podcast, Stories from the Earth,
where we explore humankind's relationship and connection with the natural world.
If you'd like to support our podcast, you can go to our Patreon page and support us there. And you can also give us a like on YouTube and a follow on Instagram. And you can leave us a rating or a comment and or a comment on Apple Podcasts. And all that support is appreciated. And it allows us to be able to take this podcast on the road. Today we are on location, which is something that we hope to do more of. So thank you.
Today we are on site at Activated Earth, which is a lovely little earth-centered natural healing space located in Canton, North Carolina, focused on community learning and exploration of traditional, ecological, cultural knowledge, experiential learning, co-creating with nature, with special emphasis on equity and accessibility for marginalized groups. Activated Earth offers nature-based workshops, folk medicine, traditional healing, and guided forest experiences. They also have a retail space here for small batch botanicals and handcrafted metaphysical products.
We are here to speak with Janina, the founder and primary educator of Activated Earth.
So welcome, or thanks for welcoming us.
Welcome. Thank you for being here.
Today we have scripts. Ha ha. Usually we have scripts, but you can't actually see them. So we've been cheating this whole time. So tell us a bit about yourself and the story of how Activated Earth Healing and Learning Space came into being. What was the path and inspiration that led to all of this?
All right. So my name is Janina Salerno, and I'm originally from Montevideo, Uruguay, which is a little country in South America between Brazil and Argentina. And when I was about 5 years old, my family and I immigrated to Atlanta, Georgia, and I grew up in Atlanta. And about 9 years ago, I moved here into the mountains. The mountains had been calling for a long, long time, and I answered that call about 9 years ago. And I live about 15 minutes east of here in Canton. I live in Asheville. We're in Canton today. And I am a North Carolina certified environmental educator. I identify mainly as a curandera, and curanderismo is folk medicine, traditional ancestral medicine of the Latino and the Hispanic cultures. And I'm also a metalsmith artist and make ceremonial jewelry and metaphysical products. And let's see, what was the follow-up question to that?
Oh, just what led to taking all of the your Jill of all trades skills and distilling it into this, like what made you decide to do this? How'd you end up here?
Yeah, that's, I mean, it's kind of a loaded question because, but if I can pinpoint where it started, I would say in 2012. In 2012, I took my Shivananda yoga teacher training and was certified in yoga and meditation. And that's sort of like where everything began for me professionally through that initiation. And then fast forward to like 2016, 17, I moved here into the mountains and was called to learn more about the plant and tree allies that are native to here. And so I went to school for natural resources and forest technology and began to learn more about plants and trees. And fast forward a little bit more, and I was trained in Western herbalism through Chestnut School. And so with all of that, 2019 rolled around, and I sort of, it felt like I got a download from either my higher self or spirit, and that it was kind of like a lot of information around the feeling that I wanted to be out in nature, specifically in the forest, guiding people and teaching folks about how to commune and reconnect with the forest in a way that is in an earth-honoring way, so by giving back. And so that is where Bioforest Restore was created in 2019. From there, I started to offer plant workshops and began to create medicine wheel gardens in the area to restore native plant species and kind of restore our innate knowledge around how to commune with nature in a good way by giving back in a way that we're incorporating sacred reciprocity. So giving back to the land when we harvest medicine. And so began to offer the plant workshops, and then also was trained in curanderismo, but also was raised around it as well, and began to offer earth-based healing arts. And so that kind of culminated into 6 months ago, me opening this space in Canton. But before I opened the space in Canton, I had been doing it from my home for like 2 years. So I was doing everything from home, and then it just felt like, okay, I need to actually open up a proper space so I can offer more of a space for a community. And yeah, so
have a little room to grow.
A little room to grow, exactly. Yeah, thank you. Yes.
And just out of curiosity, because I used to have a business out this way myself before motherhood took priority. I'll ask you the same thing that my investors had asked me: why Canton?
Right.
Because we're a little spot on the map here, and people are like, "What? Where's Canton again?" Oh yeah, it's just outside Asheville, so that's not bad.
Right.
What brought you? What coalesced to bring you here?
That's a great question. And I think that's yet to be discovered for me. It wasn't like I was looking at Canton. I was looking at Buncombe County and surrounding, specifically Buncombe County and Asheville, because that's where I lived, but nothing was coming available. Nothing was popping up. The market is really kind of slim pickings. And then this space just like came available, and, it felt really good. It's a really beautiful space. It's got some green garden space in the back, and I was able to install a medicine wheel garden.
Nice.
And all the doors seemed to kind of open with ease in regards to this place in Canton. So yeah, I just went for it. But I think it was just like divinely guided. It wasn't like I was like, I want to, you know, be here or there, but just was guided to be here.
Yeah. So it's like a little surprise. You're still waiting to unfold.
Exactly. It's like, why am I here? I don't know, but I'm sure I'll find out.
Well, it is a very lovely space.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
What kind of classes and workshops do you offer?
So we offer a few different kinds of workshops. We offer a medicine making, folk medicine, folk remedy making workshop, where we'll come in and make a tincture or a botanical oil. And all of our workshops incorporate the medicine wheel garden in the back. So they all start with like gathering around the medicine wheel and harvesting actually the medicine and giving back an offering according to the land or your lineage. Ooh. We'll bring the medicine here into this space and create either a folk remedy or there's another workshop we offer, which is a smoke bundle workshop. So we'll make a smoke bundle. The latest workshop I've added is a folk amulet. So we'll make a cool little folk amulet with plants and stones. Those are the three plant related workshops that I offer.
That's cool. They can see like sort of the whole, you know, you go out, you harvest the plant, and then you make the medicine. And that's really neat, because you sort of see almost the whole cycle, right?
Yeah, it was really important for me that it would be hands-on and experiential, like we're actually in the ground, we're actually harvesting the medicine, so it's not just like we're around the table talking about it, but it felt important, and it feels different that the participants actually work with the plants and the land. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you also do like natural healing services here as well, and I'm assuming you're the primary practitioner to that end. What all do you, I know your bio on your website, you're trained in quite a few things, so what services are you providing here?
Yeah, so mainly it's services around curanderismo. So that means traditional medicine, which is earth-based healing arts. Right now I have two offerings in that of curanderismo that I offer. And one of them is a limpia, which translates loosely to like a shamanic cleanse. So that entails like cleansing with plants. So it's also with plant medicine. Typically, I like to use mugwort, feverfew. I like the mountain mint, rue. So, you know, plants specifically like sacred power plants. So use those to cleanse along with other elements from nature. And then I also offer a beautiful flower water ritual. And that is also from the flowers in the garden. But, you know, so we have four seasons here. And so things kind of shift and change through the seasons. Mm-hmm. But there's always like, even we have evergreens too. So we'll use evergreens when the flowers aren't out. So those are the two traditional medicine services I offer. And I also offer shamanic Reiki, which is a little different. But a lot of folks like, they don't know about the offerings that I have here. They haven't learned yet about curanderismo, or maybe are feeling a little bit of like cold feet around shamanic healing. So they like to come in through Reiki. Hmm. You know, they'll be like, oh, Reiki, cool. Yeah, I know that. And so they'll come in, they'll have Reiki. My Reiki includes like some shamanic, what am I thinking of, like shamanic principles as well. And then, you know, they may come back for some curanderismo or for some traditional medicine.
I just stumbled across and read this thing the other day, which really struck a chord with me. And it seems very appropriate now having this conversation with you. It was something that was explaining how in our current culture in the West, we've sort of lost touch with, rite of passage isn't the best word to use, but it's kind of along those lines, right? So like with your type of healing practice and people in the West, we don't necessarily think of the spiritual component. Like when you're talking about cleansing, you're kind of talking about the self, the spirit, the soul, the psyche, you know, whatever people want to call it in that sense, and how critical it is to heal and clear that for there to even be doors open for the body to heal, right? Mm-hmm. So I feel like that's a pretty different approach than what a lot of people are used to. Like people might think, oh, natural medicine, yeah. I take some tinctures and I get a massage every now and then. And it's like, well, there's another layer here that if you're ready to take that next step, you know, then there's somebody like you to kind of like be the guide so that, much needed cleansing in this culture, I would say.
I think people are less familiar with this in this region with the healing practices from Uruguay. And they're more familiar with just like the mountain traditions or like the Western herbalism. So I think that there's some learning and also actually I don't know too much about it myself. So
absolutely. And it's really quite fascinating that you bring this up because I've been like contemplating because, you know, I'm trained in Western herbalism through wonderful Chestnut School. And I'm also trained in curanderismo. And they're both folk medicine. But the folk medicine from maybe the Hispanic and Latino cultures bring in this like aspect of spirituality that is like really a big, big component of folk medicine. So so just like thinking about that, like you mentioned, you know, a lot of folks haven't thought about like spirituality when they're thinking about their folk medicine here in the West. So that's great that you brought that up because I've been thinking, I want to write a blog about that, you know, cause,
why it's important. Cause I think it's something people just don't think, like if they're made to think about it, like the thing that I read that kind of like made the light bulb go off And it's not like the thought had never occurred to me, but the way it was worded, I was just like, oh yeah, you know, we don't really talk about that enough. We don't think about it enough, and we certainly don't incorporate it enough.
I think what happened with Western herbal medicine is it got divorced from the spiritual part over time, because we had this big, yes, we had this big break where we're relearning a bunch of stuff. And then, but there is a spiritual component with the traditional mountain healing part here, but those don't always get incorporated. So, so you can have your herbal medicine, divided from,
it's sort of the Western thinking, right? It's like starting to take it towards the medical route instead of the grounded.
Incorporated the spiritual part too.
Yeah. But also what you just said, Jennifer, is like 100% like accurate. Before, like, we're all, you know, if we go far back enough, our ancestors were pagans. And they did incorporate the spirituality. They did incorporate magic, plant magic. So, and that was, you know, herbalism, folk medicine. So, but then there was that break that you talked about, right? Where we kind of lost that, maybe when we were colonized and colonization began to happen, and that kind of like fell away in some cultures. But we're all three of us of European descent. And if we go far back enough, our ancestors were pagans, earth honoring people. And so that was really rich in those cultures as well. So, you know, it's just, I guess for me, it's just about bringing it back and bringing it into Western herbalism.
Getting people
remembering
back in touch with their roots.
Yes.
In more ways than one.
I like
that.
I like that.
This is something I don't know why I haven't thought about it before. It's like, oh yeah.
It's like remembering. As a guide, like one of my jobs, when I take people out into the forest or when they come in here, I'm just sparking that memory, just like you're having now. You're like, oh yeah, why didn't I think of that? Well, yeah, it's, I'm not teaching you something you don't already know. The knowledge is innately within you. I'm just like sparking that memory.
That's awesome. And it plays into the next question.
Ah, the next question. Yes, yes. Asheville and its surrounding regions, such as this, have had a long reputation for healing arts and metaphysical practitioners. How would you say activated earth perhaps differs from other offerings in the area?
And I mean, I think this area is really rich in healers and practitioners and ceremonial artisans, all the makers, you know, all the above, like it's really beautiful in that way. And then just the mountains in and of itself are just, there's so much medicine and folklore here. I guess, you know, one way that I would differ is bringing like the aspect of curanderismo. And it's just slightly different than what is already here. You know, I don't think that if we really like sit and think about it, it's actually not that different from what was originally here. The indigenous land that, by the way, we're in Salegi land of the Anikawagi people. I may have mispronounced that, but Eastern Band Cherokee. And this is their land. And so, you know, even before me being here and us being here, it was rich in medicine. I don't think that I'm really bringing anything that unique, but just like remembering, helping people remember what's already here.
It's like not so much as trying to reinvent any wheels as it is just opening the door to people who might not have otherwise had the access, right?
Absolutely.
Or knew where to start, I guess. It seems like I get, based on the offerings on your website and speaking with you and seeing the space, I feel like this is a really good like launching point for people to kind of like, I don't know, take that ancestral part of themselves, but reclaim it, you know?
Yes, I love that.
Uncovering the old wheels.
Yeah, uncover the old wheels. Don't make a new one.
Right. Recycle.
The wheels are already here.
The wheels are already here.
So what are some of your favorite ways to connect with the natural world and find peace and stay grounded in your personal life?
I think it's just important to keep that simple and not make it more complicated than it needs to be. So just simply going out in nature and sitting with nature, Pachamama Gaia, and listening to nature sounds is a good way to do that, to kind of be in a meditative state and just listen to the sounds and notice the things around us. So that's typically what I like to do. So I'm not a big, like, when I go into the mountains, like going hiking or whatever, it's more like a meander, like moseying, is that a word?
Yeah, that's a word.
Okay. Very slowly noticing all the plants and trees and mushrooms and so just mainly just listening and noticing.
Like a walking meditation.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. So on your journey, was there anyone who really inspired and supported you along your path? Do you have anyone you considered a mentor?
I like that question because it reminds me of some hard lessons that I learned about. I personally have not had a human mentor that I can say, like, this person was my mentor. Pachamama Gaia and Spirit have been my mentors. I feel like I've been guided by my well ancestors and plant spirits around us and just Mother Nature. But I have had a lot of teachers, and one thing, a hard lesson that I've had to learn is that the importance of not putting other human beings on a pedestal, because when you do that, you're putting them up here and you're kind of putting yourself here, and it just sets you up for being disillusioned and suffering. So I think that just for me, my mentor has just been Mother Earth.
Well, it's kind of hard to beat that when it's so all-encompassing. So this is an interesting question we like to ask on our podcast to anybody in the healing arts, because I feel like everybody has sort of their own articulation of it. To you, what would you say is your definition of health and healing?
That's a tough one. I think it feels like it's in progress. It's not something that, for me personally, it's like a journey. I'm always uncovering, it's like an onion peel maybe, mm-hmm. like always uncovering layers of healing. When I think I've, you know, healed this one aspect of myself, there's something just like underneath the surface that I have to work on then. So it's a journey. And let's see what else I can say about that. Was a hard one for me.
It's okay.
I don't know think why. About it.
Yeah.
Chop and then put it as if it was
repeat
not
the
even
question because there was something.
Your definition of health and healing.
Yeah. It's so tough, yeah, and it's subjective because health and healing is different for each individual as well. You know, what health and healing might look like for me, it may not look like that for you. So, yeah, best I can say is it's a work in progress. And then there's something around, like, authenticity and creativity and being able to lean in to that part of yourself that maybe at once you saw as maybe your shadow self or things that you didn't like or disliked or hated about yourself, and kind of like incorporating those, or not maybe not incorporating, but there's a word that I'm thinking of that I can't think of, but just allowing those to become integrating.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Integrating those like shadow parts into yourself in a way that has compassion and self-love. And I don't know why, but I think that that's like a really big part, at least for me, to health and well-being is incorporated.
Well, I think especially, again, so much of our podcast always comes back to this culture that we live in, this culture that we live in.
This
why are so many people sick, you know, physically or mentally or whatever? Well, I think there's, you know, you were speaking to that with the authenticity and the creativity, right? I mean, we live in a time when so many people, myself included, I've struggled with this, you know, feel like you stuff that part of yourself down because you can see 50 bajillion examples and you're like, well, there's always people doing whatever better than me. Why should I even take the time and bother? Or we're like busy, 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 go, go, go. I don't have time for this creative stuff. That's just my hobby if I ever get around to it and stuff like that. And we don't think about the fact that, like, humans, as we've existed as animals, essentially, as our own beings, more with nature, you know, we danced and we sang and we painted on cave walls, not because anybody was paying us to, you know, like, and if we don't find a way to connect to some of that part of ourselves, like, yeah, then there is a little bit of a sickness, if not, I mean, a sadness, right? Yes. And a sadness is a sickness in a way.
I'm getting chills as you're speaking, because you're speaking to everything that I wanted to say, but I didn't have the words to say.
So, she does that all the time.
Yes, exactly. That's what I wanted to say. Yeah, it feels unhealthy, or I don't feel complete. But who has the time to be creative, right? So, yes, everything you say is that.
Yeah, you just, it's like, you know, the overall society says that does not matter. What matters is you clock in at this time and you clock out at that time. And you know, after that time, then you're supposed to have your time, but you don't have
tired.
It. You're too tired.
It's dark at 5:30.
You're too tired. And then so everything just gets kind of, you know.
Or just like, that there needs to be that self-expression.
And then if you can't do that, I think it's very detrimental to like your health and well-being. And also like the go, 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 also that's bad. That's not very good.
So it's nice that, like, to emphasize, since we're here in your lovely space, that it's meant to be a space to allow people that wiggle room into their life if they will have it, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, another favorite question.
We have all the favorite questions.
Yay. Yeah.
Are there any books that have helped you on your journey that you would like to recommend?
One of those, like, I read books the same way I walk through the forest. I mosey through them. So it kind of takes me forever. And it's part of, like, not having time, you know. But there's some books that I return to again and again, which one of them is Braiding Sweetgrass by Robin Wall Kimmerer. I'm sure all of your audience already knows. I also return to a lot to Sun Bear, the Medicine Wheel book by Sun Bear. So those are just the two. I mean, there's so many, but two of the ones that kind of live on my bedside table and I just like return to a lot. So, yeah.
Yeah, surprisingly, we still haven't done a book review of Braiding Sweetgrass on the show, even though we've mentioned it so many times. I don't know. It's almost like monumental.
So good.
Like, that's going to take some...
It's going to be like...
some real time to dig into that.
It's going to be like an epic series of... I mean, right now, we're still trying to get to a third part in one of our books. We just have part one and part two, so apologize if you're waiting for part three.
I think Sweetgrass would probably be like a 10-part.
10-part series. Yeah, I mean, it would be fun.
It's
because
we just
like to dig in. And oh my gosh, so I was listening to that book at work and I was just like crying. Every time I listened to it, I'm like, okay. But it was during the pandemic, so we had the mask on so you couldn't see. And it was just like, you know, I'm like, what? You know, like.
What book are you guys reading?
Oh, the one that we've gotten two parts through so far is Confessions of a Recovering Environmentalist by Paul Kingsnorth.
That sounds good.
A little edgy.
Yeah, it is. It is quite. Yeah, it's quite edgy. So we're on the third part.
The book's divided into three parts, so we just figured, well, that makes it work out. Yeah.
But we did the second part in January of this year, and it's November. So
we've been filling our time talking to awesome people like Janina.
We've been having a lot of less books. I mean, we love books. We have a whole list. We'll be talking about it. Mm-hmm. But for this year, we've been just doing a bunch more interviews. That's how it worked out. But wonderful. Yeah, Sweetgrass is definitely on our list. And then anytime someone mentions a book, we're like, ooh, that's good. We stick it on the list too.
Yeah, the Medicine Wheel by Sun Bear has been on my get-to list for a while. So nice.
Anything plant-related, I'm all in. And so Sun Bear, they talk about a lot of plants and where to plant them on the wheel and how and why and when and where. So
I'm assuming that's what you use to incorporate with your space
some
here.
Of them, and, yeah.
Okay, so this is going to be the hard one. For plant people, it's always the hard one. How do you pick, right? Like, can you name one herb, a few herbs, that have impacted your life in a positive way, like that you could say your life has been improved by a certain herb, whether that's mentally, emotionally, physically, you just like to sit with it, whatever the case may be?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a couple that come to mind that came into my awareness during a class in school, dendrology, which was like my favorite, all-time favorite class, which is the study of trees. And Kalmia latifolia, mountain laurel, was one that just like, when I even heard her name like that, I was just like something, just my awareness just opened up. And then when I saw her in the forest and just like the way that she grows and the color of her bark and everything, it's just a tree ally that I really love, that I think is native to this region. And I use the leaves as a place-based bioregional alternative to white sage, obviously does not grow in this region. But I found that like the smoke of the Kalmia latifolia leaves also has like a tendency properties to absorb that density and kind of offer us protection and cleansing and clearing and purification. Personally, for me, I haven't read this anywhere. I've experienced that medicine from that tree. And so I like to use it in that way. And then the other one is Cornus florida, which is flowering dogwood. And flowering dogwood, I have a flowering dogwood tree in my front yard. And was the first flower plant that I made a flower essence from. And this was when I was just a novice herbalist, just starting with chestnut school. And one of the first lessons is to experience and create a flower essence. And so I sat under the tree and I worked in many different ways with flowering dogwood. But I still I was a new herbalist and I wasn't sure about like, does this stuff really work? Like flower essence, what is that? Like the spirit of the flower? Is that really, am I really going to feel anything? Is it really going to do anything? And so about 2 months into taking my medicine, flowering dogwood medicine, I was in a river doing it wasn't a river cleanup. It was we were resituating the trash trout. Trash trout is a contraption that sits in a waterway and it catches waste and trash. And so I used to work at a nonprofit organization and they needed some help resituating this huge contraption in the river. And so I went out and we assisted with that. And then at the end, they were like, well, we're in the river, so we can do a little cleanup, pick up some litter or trash from this waterway, which it was the Hominy Creek. And so I was just picking up, you know, a few little things around there in our rivers. You know, there's unfortunately, sometimes we find some litter. And so I picked up a little piece of what looked like a broken dish or a broken vessel, some piece of pottery. And this was a couple months into taking the medicine. And it was, and I have it there, I can show it later. It was a print or a painting of flowering dogwood on this little vessel, on this little broken dish, which is really rare because it's not like something that is typically like on a dish. Uh-huh. But for me, like what I took away from that is it was, I needed to see a physical representation. I needed to see something in 3D here, showing me that we were in relationship, that there was actually something happening, you know, between me and flowering dogwood, and the medicine was actually working. And I could feel that the medicine was working, but still there was this like this little piece of me that was just like, I don't know, maybe like I'm making it up, or is it placebo? And so in that way, flowering dogwood came kind of full circle back to me. And when I picked that up, gave me it felt like a reminder that, you know, that yes.
A little pat on the back.
Yeah. We're in relationship, you know, and this is actually happening. And so I like to share that story about
what are
that.
The odds.
Yeah. I mean, what are the odds? It's crazy.
and something you said about the laurel made me curious. So you just experimented in terms of discovering, at least in your experience, it's sort of serving in our locale as a replacement for white sage. Is that something where, because it has kind of waxy leaves as opposed to like the drier, fluffy leaves of a sage. So I'm just curious, like, do you dry it down somehow to burn it?
Yeah.
And does it burn differently or longer or stronger because it has that sort of waxy component? Or do you wrap it in a thick bundle or one leaf is good enough because they're thick leaves? I don't know. I'm just curious.
It's really, really powerful. I reserve it for really dense, heavy energy. Someone with like a lot of density, lower vibrational, because it's, if you ever try it, and I may have some and can gift you some if I can find some, but it smolders and I dry it thoroughly. You know, I'll dry it maybe like 6 to 8 weeks. And I haven't made bundles from it. I just use single leaves, just dry the single leaves. And it smolders like a smoke bundle would. But yeah, it's more, it feels more like, what is another smoke plant ally that I'm thinking of? Not comfrey, but I can't think of it. I may have
Mullen?
To
come in. Mullen?
There's something else, I mean, that I'm thinking about that is just like really
mugwort, but that's
well, kind of like, yeah, but different. But it's got the same like energetic feel as mugwort. It's okay. Like for that heavy density, it's really powerful. And yeah, so I like to use it just
that's
because
the knowing the plant, that's kind of when you first are like, oh gosh. That, does she put it in a bundle? Because I'm like, man, that would just knock somebody out.
Yeah, it would not
be a strong plant.
Yeah, very strong. And you would never ever want to burn the wood because I think it's in the rhododendron family, which is like toxic. So no wood, only the plant, the dried plant, and one single leaf at a time. Really, really powerful.
Yeah, so not an everyday.
No, not an everyday thing. Yeah.
No.
Well, we look forward to taking a little walk around the shop and showing off your lovely space for the viewers, if that's an enticement to the listeners to go follow us on YouTube so you can see.
Right, because I mean, I could add the audio, but you wouldn't be able to see, and I could add some, you wouldn't be able to see it. You'd have to use your imagination.
But it's been lovely to be here. Thank you for letting us come out and see the space. And we hope that this gets more feet in your door now that they know this wonderful place is here.
Thank you so much. Thank you both for being here and sharing your time with me. And it's amazing. I love your podcast. And thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. And I'd like to thank our listeners for listening and supporting us, and we really, really, really appreciate it. If you haven't already, please give us a like and a follow on YouTube and Instagram. We're on TikTok. We're on Facebook. We've got a Facebook group and a page. We're on Twitter.
Everything.
Almost
whatever your preference.
Wherever you, Spotify, Apple Podcast, give us a rating and or a review and our review. That is very, very helpful. Or if you have an extra dollar or two, you can go to our Patreon page and please support us there. All right. So until next time, guys, have a good day. Bye. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks.
Bye.